I know that's probably expected in religion, but don't expect that here. If you have to leave, then, you know, we understand. It's fine, but I will try to be brief, but that's probably a lie. Hebrews chapter 3 this morning, if you're following along. Hebrews chapter 3. Let me go ahead and just read a few verses here. I'll begin in verse 7. Yeah, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, and Paul says that because he's now beginning to quote from the Old Testament. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness.
Yeah.
When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do alway err in their heart, and they have not known my ways.
Yeah.
So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Now, there's so many things here in this passage, but there was a word that caught my eye, very familiar word. The word here is will. W-I-L-L. A little small word. Will. That word caught my eye. And let me just give you the reason it did, one of the reasons it did, is I heard a preacher brother quoting this verse, and he actually left out that word. I'm not being critical. We do it probably a lot. We don't mean to, but...
Yeah.
He quoted it and said, you know, today if you hear his voice. That's not what it says. It says today if you will hear his voice.
Yeah.
But then it says, harden not your hearts. And that caught my mind's eye. And let me say, I know this truth, and I've known this truth for some time. And you have too, but all of a sudden it began to dawn on me the way it needs to be said. Now, a brief Sunday school lesson. The word will, W-I-L-L, and its other word, you know, willing, willingness, that kind of thing. But the actual word, will, there are other words that mean the same thing as will, but they're translated other English words. But the word will, in the King James Version, is used over 4,050 times.
Yes, sir.
I counted them. I don't think that was some great feat, because all I had to do in Strong's was count one column. I could just multiply the columns. I was done in a few minutes. So don't think, well, boy, the preacher really studied on that one. It really wasn't that difficult. But I thought that just caught my attention. Over 4,050 times the word will is used. Now, granted, sometimes it's actually different words. Sometimes it means just a desire, a wish. Sometimes it means, the will, the choice or volition. Sometimes it means a covenant. Sometimes it means a sovereign purpose of God.
Oh, yeah.
Now, there are varying words. I'm not saying they're all the same word, but the word will is translated over 4,050 times in the King James Version with various meanings. But this is what struck me. Since it's used so many times, then certainly, we can get God's take on the will.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
If God uses it in his word over 4,000 times, yep, we ought to be able to get God's take on the will.
Yep.
W-I-L-L. Both his and man's.
There you go.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Now, you know as well as I do, there's not just debate. There is argument and separation. Simply because of men's take on this thing of will.
Yes, sir.
Right? Mm-hmm. I better not go where I was at next. Anyway, we should, with all of this information in the scripture, we should be able to get God's take on the wheel. And that indeed is the major thing, is God's take, because my take on it don't matter.
Exactly.
And I mean that with all the honesty I can muster. My take on it doesn't matter. My desire, my hope is that I have seen, been able to see God's take on the wheel.
Yeah.
But when push comes to shove, my take on the wheel doesn't matter. Man's take on the wheel doesn't matter. God's take on the wheel, God's view of the wheel,
yes,
matters. I have three things to present to you, and they will each take 30 minutes.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. It won't take that long. That'd be an hour and a half, wouldn't it? Number one, even from our text, man's problem is not a mere lack of will.
That's right.
Now listen to me. Don't prejudice your mind against what I'm going to say this morning. Well, I feel like God's given me something to give to you. Man's problem is not a mere lack of will. I have probably said it before. Man doesn't have a choice. That's not the proper statement. Man has a choice. The problem is he always makes the wrong choice by nature.
Yeah.
And it's not that man doesn't have a will. Man has a will. But his will is distorted and perverted and corrupted by his evil heart.
Yeah.
People make statements like, well, if man would just will to, and then whatever, if he would just will to believe, or will to repent, or just will to follow, or will to hear, or will to listen. If he'd just do that, or she would just will to, then things would be okay. It's not the way the Bible presents it. Not at all. It's not a mere lack of will, but it's not just a human will that needs to be molded and shaped and stirred up. It's not that either. Man's problem, according to our text, is his heart.
Yep.
Wherefore,
exactly.
Verse 7, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if ye will. In other words, if you're willing.
Yeah.
To hear his voice. Yet it still says, do what?
Yeah.
Harden not your heart.
Exactly. Yeah.
You see that?
Yeah.
Harden not your heart, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness. Verse 10, wherefore, God says this, what God had said previously concerning Israel, right after they'd been brought out of Egypt. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their will. Is that what it said? No. They didn't always err in their will.
No.
But what did they always err in?
Yeah.
They do always err in their heart.
There you go. That's right.
The problem, well, listen to me. Don't get upset with me. The problem is not basically the will. The will is a problem. But it's not basically the will. The problem is the heart.
Exactly. That's it. Yeah.
Even in the Old Testament, concerning these, some of these very people that Paul is referring to here, some of them, it says their heart made them willing when they engaged in the work of the tabernacle.
Yeah. Yes.
Their heart made them willing.
Yeah.
But my question then is, where did a heart like that come from?
Exactly.
The heart is, there's no question. The Bible is clear on the state of the human heart the fall of Adam. It's desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? Out of the mouth proceeds evil thoughts. But where does that come from?
Yeah.
The heart. Thoughts and deeds and murders and fornications and adulteries. All of these, they come forth where? Out of our heart.
Amen.
Even so, of some of these people, it says their spirit made them willing. Or they had a willing spirit.
Yeah.
And yet I think what James says, the spirit that is in us, that dwells in us, lusteth to envy.
Yeah.
Where did a spirit like that come from?
Exactly.
It didn't come from within man.
See,
because man's heart is corrupt. His spirit fell with everything else. It fell with everything else. The whole man, when Adam fell, all of him fell. Every bit of him fell. Every part of his being fell when Adam fell. And when we're conceived and born, we're conceived and born into that state into which Adam fell.
Oh, yeah.
Man's problem is his heart. Now this warning is no mere wilderness phenomenon.
Yeah.
And you can find that in chapter 4, verse 7, because then David, a few hundred years, was still crying out this, wherefore, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just a wilderness phenomenon. Yeah. It wasn't just them old Jews out there in the wilderness.
Boy.
David referred to it in his day. But this warning is no mere historical phenomenon.
That's right.
Wherefore? Mm-hmm. Now look at this in parentheses. Wherefore? Then go to them. Wherefore take heed, brethren? Who's he talking to?
Yeah.
The people of his day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here to prophesy to you that it's still the same today.
Yes, sir.
It ain't changed today.
Exactly.
It's still just as valid a warning as in any other day. So this man's problem is his heart. This warning is not a wilderness phenomenon. It's not a historical phenomenon. But listen, this warning has gospel implications. It's not about just, well, that was the law.
Yeah.
What does he say, chapter 4? Let us there, it's still continuing, same subject. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the law declared. That's what it said, is it? For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them.
Amen.
Moses delivered the law to them, but Moses was preaching the gospel to them as well.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Moses wrote of Christ because Christ said he did, so I believe Christ.
Amen.
He said, if you believe Moses, you believe me.
Amen.
Because Moses wrote of me. Moses gave them the law. He wrote of Christ.
Amen.
Uh-huh.
Yes, sir.
That's the truth of the
matter.
Oh, yes, the law was written down in the book. But Moses gave them the law. He delivered the law to them.
Yes, sir.
But he was preaching Christ to them.
Exactly.
That's what he was doing. Well, I don't see it. I feel for you now.
Yeah.
I do, and I don't mean that sarcastically.
No.
I mean that with all the seriousness I can muster.
Yeah.
This warning has gospel implications. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it.
Amen.
Because Paul says that the Holy Ghost has said, and then David said, and that was through the Holy Ghost that was in the Psalms, and Paul was repeating it to the people of his day.
Mm-hmm.
Today, if ye will hear his voice, will you hear his voice?
That's it.
There are people who are willing to hear his voice.
Yes, sir.
How do you hear his voice?
Yeah.
How did they hear his voice?
Yeah.
They heard Moses speak.
Right.
They heard Moses preach the gospel.
Yeah.
Even when God gave the law, they didn't hear the words. All they heard was lightnings and thunder.
Yeah.
But when Moses came down, before he went up and after he came down, when they heard him speak, he was speaking of Christ and the gospel.
Yes, sir.
And if you ever hear from God, there are very few Abrams in this world.
Yeah.
Now, am I going to put God in a box? No, I'm not going to shut God up in a box. But if you ever hear God Almighty's voice, you're going to hear it through another sinner.
Yes, sir.
God will send somebody to you to tell you the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's how you're going to hear it. And I'm not here to argue that. Well, but couldn't there be a case? That's not the point. The point is this. When God speaks, he speaks through his ordained means.
Yes, sir.
And that's preachers of the gospel.
That's
how he does it. Today, if you will hear his voice. And they heard his voice. How? Through gospel preaching. Even by Moses. That's what this says.
Yeah.
Now, I will stand by that. Now, some because of certain beliefs I have, and the way I see certain scriptures, people lay terms on me, and that's okay. But I know this.
Mm-hmm.
I know this. God saves his people through the preaching of the gospel.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And that's just the way it is. And I'm not going to fight against that. But here's the question. Will ye hear? Today. What did he say? Today, if ye will hear his voice, then what? Don't harden your heart.
Amen.
Don't harden your heart.
That's right.
Don't harden your heart. But here's the whole point of this passage. Human will is not the determining factor.
Exactly.
The heart is.
Yes, sir. That's it.
The heart is.
That's right.
If you turn back to Exodus chapter 19 and look at it, verse 7 and 8, well, let's just read it. I don't want to rush through this. I will try to be brief, but look at Exodus chapter 19. Verse 7, and Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. Now, it's not to talk about law.
That's right.
It's talk about what God had taught him concerning the tabernacle and all that,
yes,
concerning the things of Christ.
Yeah.
And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do.
Yes, sir.
They were willing to hear.
Yeah.
Do you see that?
Yeah.
We will do. Now, some really good, strong Calvinists might say, but they were just saying that. No, they were willing to hear it.
Yeah.
And we'll, not just that, we'll do it.
Yeah.
Isn't that what it says?
Yeah.
And I believe they meant it.
Oh, yeah.
Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. Now, look at that part. Now, here's what they said, Lord. We will do it. We will. We're willing. Isn't that what that says? Now, Paul says, just like them. Just because you got a will to hear something,
yeah.
Be careful.
Yeah, exactly.
Be careful. Watch out. Don't think it's all over. Everything's fixed up. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Because people have done it before.
Oh, yeah.
They're still doing it today.
Yes,
and they
sir.
Will continue to do it. They will harden their hearts against God.
Exactly.
Did they do all the words he spoke? No. They were willing, but their heart wouldn't let them. Do you see that? Do you hear what I've just said? Do you hear what more important, what this is saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm willing. That's great. I mean, I'm glad.
Yeah.
But harden not your hearts. Did they do it? Read my text again. Verses 8 through 11. They didn't do it, so much so that God says, so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest.
That's right.
Amen.
When a man exalts his will and or his actions, he's set for a fall.
Yeah.
When a man or a woman exalts his or her will and or actions,
yeah,
they are set for a fall because it's more than just the will. The heart is involved in it all. And our hearts are desperately wicked.
That's right.
Let me give you a few things. Human will, according to this book, human will cannot be trusted. Did you know that? Human, like I said, it's mentioned. The word will is mentioned over 4,000 times. You think we can get a little idea about God's take on the human will?
There you go.
According to Peter, it embraces ignorance.
Yeah.
For this they are willingly ignorant of.
That's it.
Yeah. Right? That's the will. That's human will.
There you go.
You want to see human will defined by the Bible. It defines it there. They can talk free will all they want. Here's how God defines human will. There's 4,000 and some uses of it. I'm just going to give you about 6 or 7.
Yeah.
It embraces ignorance. Turn to Acts chapter 24. And I want to read these. Most of them anyway. Acts 24. Verse 27. What does it teach us here about human will? It seeks human acceptance.
Yeah.
That's what human will does.
Yes,
Acts 24 and verse 27. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound.
Yep.
Paul had done nothing wrong against the law, especially of Rome.
That's right.
But Felix, what? Willing.
There you go.
You see that? The human will seek human acceptance.
Yes, sir.
Thirdly, the human will seeks self-justification. Turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 and verse 29. But he, you can look at the context of what this is later. But he willing to justify himself said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? You remember the account of the Good Samaritan? That's what this is. But he what? Willing to do what? Oh, willing to serve the Lord. No. He willing to what? Justify himself. That's what human will does.
That's exactly right.
But why? Because that's what the Bible says it does. And he will deal with the heart anymore other than just to condemn it. But that's what the human will does.
Exactly.
Number four, it can be traitorous. Turn to Matthew chapter 26. It could be traitorous. The human will could be traitorous. Matthew 26 verse 14. Then one of the 12. You see that? Then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot. You remember that man?
Yep.
Went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will ye? What are you willing to do?
Yeah.
What will ye give me? And I will.
That's right.
Deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver.
There you go.
There's the human will. You see it?
Exactly right.
There's human will. It could be traitorous. Traitorous. Number five, the fifth one. It can be perversely swayed. Now, this would take a little while, but you look at it, and here's the order. You would read John 18, verses 38-39. Then Luke 23, verses 13 and 21. And then Mark 15 and verse 15. And what you will see in this is Pilate is willing to let Jesus go because he finds no fault in him.
Yeah, that's right.
But he willing to appease the people went with their will.
That's right.
And it's summed up by Luke in Luke 23, 25. He delivered them over to the will of the people.
Exactly.
Even though he found no fault in the man.
Amen.
And he ended up letting a murderer go.
That's right.
Now, yes, it was a custom, but he, if his will had been truly a good will, he would have said, I got to let this man go. But even though he was willing to let him go, he submitted to the will of the people and turned Jesus over to their will.
That's right.
It can be perversely swayed. Number six, the sixth illustration, Matthew 27, turn over a page or so there. Matthew 27, it can be deadly mocking. Deadly mocking. Matthew 27, and look at verse 42. He saved others. Who are they talking about? Talking about Christ. He was hanging on the cross right at this time. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross, and we will believe him. There's human will. But it was deadly mocking. Were they really willing to believe in him?
No.
It could be deadly mocking. And I thought about that, and I thought, well, but that's that bunch of sinners. Right? That's that bunch of sinners. That's that bunch of unbelieving Jews. That's that traitorous Judas Iscariot. And when I thought like that, I heard my name being called Walter thou Pharisee. Are you thanking God you're not like other men? That's not my will. Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
it is. Yes, it is. That's my human will because it's all human will.
Yes, sir.
But then let me give you a couple others. This next illustration. Human will could be judgmentally vindictive. You remember, was it James and John? And they seen the way Christ was treated. They said, let's do like, was it Elias or Elijah? One of them said, let's call down fire from God out of heaven. Lord, will you let us do that? What, Lord, what will you have? Will you have us to call down fire out of heaven? They were willing to kill some people.
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we will strike down vengeance. Now, we're asking your permission, Lord. And it says the Lord rebuked them. That's the will even of a believer.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
That's the will. That was the will of two of the 12.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. Here's another. The last illustration I'll give you. It can be filled with pride. Lord, I will die for you or with you. I'll die. I will. And Peter meant that.
Yes, he did.
When he pulled out that sword, he was putting his life in his hands. When he cut off that man's ear, he meant it. But what did our Lord say? Will you really do that, Peter? I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to deny me three times.
That's right.
That's the will of a believer.
Yeah.
A man who was called to be an apostle.
Oh, yeah.
There's human will.
Yeah.
Now, discounting all the references to other meanings of the word will, there are still hundreds of illustrations that apply directly to the will of as I've talked about it right here. And I haven't but scratched the surface in giving you these illustrations.
Yeah.
I haven't but scratched the surface. Human will? Trust it?
Yeah.
You going to trust your will? You call it free, whatever you want to call it. You going to trust that? Mason, we kind of talked about that yesterday, but I wasn't going to preach all my message to you and didn't have to preach it again. You and Penny would have had to hear it twice. Trust human will? Now, John chapter 5, let me just kind of sum up human will. You know this one. John chapter 5, verse 30. Now, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify me. These men love the scriptures. They love the Bible. Dealt with it all the time. But look, and ye will not come to me. There's human will.
Yes, sir.
And ye will not come to me that you might have life. But even having said all of that, today, if you will hear his voice,
yeah,
harden not your heart.
Yeah. Amen.
See, if you think, well, but I want to hear the gospel. I want to hear God's word. I want to hear from God. I'm willing. That's not enough.
That's right.
You hear what I said?
That's
not enough. Yeah. It's dangerous. Nay, it is spiritually deadly if you're trusting in your will.
That's exactly right.
Hmm?
Amen.
Now, here's the second point. God's will is absolute.
Yes.
That's just what this book says about the will of God. Christ worshipers acknowledge this. Matthew 8, verses 1 and 2. Remember that leper? Don't you think he was willing to be healed of his leprosy? You know it. Well, boy, this is the highlight of my life. I got me leprosy. I want to show everybody what I got. Look! It's so glorious! No, I guarantee you, he willed David to be. He wanted, he desired. His volition was to be rid of this corruption.
Exactly.
But it says he came to Christ worshiping him and said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean.
Amen.
That's what a Christ worshiper acknowledges. God's will is absolute.
Amen.
If God wills, it'll be done.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Amen.
That's what God teaches you, Joe. That's one of them things of the light he shows you, Joe.
Yeah.
Christ worshipers acknowledge this. And you know this. Romans chapter 9, verses 18 through 20. The defiant heart questions this, though.
Oh, yeah.
Well, who hath resisted? Why doth he yet find fault for who hath resisted his will? How can God judge anybody then if God's will is absolute? If God's will is absolute, how can God judge anybody? And Paul said, you just ought to shut up. Who are you that replies against God?
Amen.
Because God said to Moses, and he's still the same, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and whom I will, I'll harden.
Amen.
God's will is absolute. And thirdly, you know this one. Well, you've already said all this. I'm going to keep saying it until somebody finally is given sight to see it.
There you go.
John chapter 1. A spiritual will is not human will excited.
Yeah.
Because spiritual birth is an act of the will of deity, not the creature.
Amen.
John chapter 1, let's read that one again. You know what Forrest Gump said? Again.
Amen.
He knew more than most folks did. You need to just hear it again. John 1 and 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received. So somebody did receive him, didn't they?
Amen.
But as many as received him, to them, that is the receivers, he gave the power, that is the right, and the authority, the privilege, to become the sons of God, even, here it is, even to them that believe on his name,
yes, sir,
which were born. And the Greek is quite clear.
Yeah.
The birth preceded the believing.
Amen.
Which were born not of blood.
Yeah.
You see, even if both your parents were born again believers, you are not born into the kingdom of God by being born from them.
Exactly.
It's not of blood. Exactly. This birth he talks about is not of blood.
Yeah.
Nor of the will of the flesh.
Amen.
Yeah. Our corrupt Adamic nature won't do it.
Exactly.
Nor of the will of man. If you want to even separate that, it's about a human willingness. At its best state.
Yeah.
At its best state, it's still not by the will of man.
Exactly.
You see that? Not of the will of the... Why does he put that word will in there? Because God Almighty declares man's will ain't free, it's bound.
Amen.
That's right.
It cannot give spiritual birth.
Exactly.
Because there are people who willed to hear and yet hardened their hearts. And God said, you will not enter into my rest.
Amen.
See it? It's not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. But how are they born? Of God.
Amen.
So again, I say a spiritual will is not human will excited. We rightfully quote Psalms 110, verse 3. Rightfully so.
Yes, sir.
It's a valid, most valid, you know, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. But it don't explain anything other than it's the power of God, right?
Yeah.
But Paul did.
Yeah.
Now turn it, you know, Philippians. Turn to it. And let's look at what it really says. Philippians chapter 2. If you follow along, turn there and we'll read it there in just a moment. Philippians chapter 2. Remember this. Here's my point here. A spiritual will is not human will excited.
Yeah.
It's not that God enables the human will to be spiritual. Yes, thy people shall be willing the day of thy power. But this is not human will excited by divine power, because Paul puts it this way. Philippians 2 and just for verse 4. It is God which worketh on your will, so that you do his good pleasure. Is that what it says?
No, sir.
No. For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He's not working on our will to make us willing. He creates a willingness in his people that's
Amen.
Of him.
Amen.
Because my human will still cannot be trusted.
Exactly.
Ask Peter.
Yeah.
Ask James and John. Ask the mother of, was it James and John? Which one? Remember, she said, Lord, I will. What wilt thou, woman? She said, well, I will. What I want is for my sons to sit on
right.
the one on your side. He said, woman, you don't know what you asked for.
That's exactly right.
And it seems to me that the sons were probably back in the back saying, oh, well, I hope she gets this. Christ said, no, only God. Only God gives these positions. You see that?
Oh, yeah.
And that was for some believers.
Yes, sir.
Some believers.
Oh, yeah.
So in other words, when I sum it all up, trust human will? Trust my human will? Think on this. Does human will equal God's will?
No.
If you know God at all, you know it does not. It cannot compare to God's will. Yet men and women do it every day. Compare human will as equal to God's will, or even greater. That is blasphemy. That's not just being confused a little. That is heresy. It is damnable heresy.
Yeah.
Man's will don't even compare to God's will. Man's will's corrupt.
Yeah.
God's will is just and absolute and wise.
Yes, sir.
Here's my third point. Does your condition demand that kind of will from God? Mm-hmm. I asked my dear wife last night this question. How many times has your will failed you? And I waited to see what she would say. Thank God, not because the answer saves you, but thank God she gave me the right answer, because it was the only answer I had too. She says every time.
Exactly.
My will has failed me every time.
Exactly.
I didn't tell her, I told her, but my heart rejoiced because I said, oh, sister, I'm the same way.
That's it.
I'm the same way.
Yeah.
Every time I've willed something, even when it's been the best of intentions, I've found out it's shot full of hell.
Amen.
It's shot full of flesh. And it's shot full of and motivated by and corrupted by my old, evil, wicked heart. Does your condition demand that God's will be absolute? Mine does. Mine does. It demands it. Now you want to look the will of God. Turn to Hebrews 8. Same book I started with, our textbook. Hebrews chapter 8. Now just think about this. Verse 10, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days.
Yeah.
Saith the Lord, I will.
Amen.
What would I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts. And you know what that does? That'll continually remind you what you really are.
Yes, sir.
Most people, there are people who read that and think that means I'm going to be a law keeper.
Oh, yeah.
No! That means I'm going to be bowed down under God's law constantly,
right,
reminded of what I really am,
amen,
both in will and heart and spirit and everything.
Oh, yeah.
I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God. I will! Do you see that? And they shall be to me a people. They shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. I could not have taught my wife the answer to that question. God had to teach her the answer to that question.
Amen.
You know that?
Oh, yeah.
No, this will not know the Lord. For all shall know me from the least to the greatest. Why? For I will.
Amen.
For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness.
Yeah.
And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. I got to have that kind of will. Huh? Oh, I'm glad he works in me both the will and the do of his good pleasure.
Yes,
but that would mean nothing apart from this will.
Yeah.
It wouldn't atone for or take care of. Even if he did that, David, in me, absolutely, to where everything I ever did after he saved me, I always willed and done God's good pleasure. It would not take care of one sin that I committed before that.
Yeah.
But thank God he said, I will remember their sins and iniquities no more. And he's just in doing it because the Savior suffered for him. But now here's the last one. Does your condition demand that kind of will? That's what I need. That's what I got to have, that right there. Now here's one more, Romans chapter 4, verse 8. The determining will. What about this? Do you absolutely need the determining will of a forgiving God?
Yeah.
Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin.
Amen.
Oh. There's glory.
Yeah.
There's a will I can depend on.
Yeah.
And it's a negative one.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
I will not. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not. He is willing to not impute my sins unto me.
Amen.
Oh, what a glory. You want to summarize? Listen to the whole statement. Don't jump up and scream heresy yet. Here's my summary. One statement. Then I'll read a verse. Scripture never. Let me turn to my passage first, because it's the last one, but you won't have to read it. I'll read it to you. Scripture never calls for trust in God's will and ours.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
Scripture nowhere.
Yeah.
And I didn't even read them all.
Yeah.
That 4,000, over 4,000. Yeah, I didn't. Yeah. I know I don't even have to read them all, Mason. I know I don't, because I know what the majority of them say.
Oh, yeah.
Scripture never calls. I challenge you to find it. It's not there.
Yeah.
Scripture never calls for trust in God's will and ours.
You're right.
Trust our will?
Yeah.
Now listen to Revelation 22. In verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth. Well, you hear, everything's fine, right? No, and let him that heareth say, come.
Amen.
and let him that is athirst. Well, as long as you're thirsty, it's all right. No, and let him that is athirst come.
Amen.
And whosoever will. Well, as long as whosoever will, I'm all right. Is that what it says? No, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. So willing itself, not enough.
Yeah.
You hear what I say?
Yeah, that's right.
And your will and my will, our human will, won't do it all.
Exactly.
It won't do it all. But there is a will.
Yes, sir.
That not only will do, it has done.
Amen.
It is doing.
Yep.
Joe, you preached on it, and it shall do.
Amen.
Isn't that glorious?
Yes, sir.
And folks, that's the truth.
Yeah.
Father, teach us these things, not by as mere doctrine, though doctrine they are. Lord, teach us these things by experience. As rough as it may be, and as much as it may continually shove our pride in the dust, Lord, bow us down to thy Son and his will and his word. And I thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, Joe. I enjoyed studying that.
Yeah. All 4,000. <Yeah. coughs> It's amazing. It's just like, you know.